you pray with me? Holy God, we give you thanks for your word that we have just heard. A word that comforts. A word that gives us hope. And yet a word that challenges us, calling us to a better job of being your people. May we hear it. May we understand it. And may we know that it is the truth for our lives. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A man, despairing of happiness in his life, had climbed onto the parapet of Brooklyn Bridge and was about to leap into the river when a policeman laid an arresting hand upon him and drew him back. But the man protested to the policeman, saying, "You do not understand how miserable I am and how hopeless my life is. Please let me go." The kind-hearted officer talked to him and said, "I will make a proposition to you. You take 5 minutes and give your reasons why life is not worth living, and then I will take 5 minutes and give you reasons why I think life is worth living. Both for you and for me. And if at the end of 10 minutes you still feel like jumping from the bridge, I won't stop you." The man took his 5 minutes. The officer took his 5 minutes. The result was that at the end of the 10 minutes, they both joined hands and leaped off the bridge. As the person who shared that story said, hope is not an argument. Hope is a great instinct of the soul. Hope is not an argument. It is a great instinct of the soul. And I hear that and I think, well, here we go again. Another Advent with the voice of Isaiah ringing out about new beginnings, new ways of living, and new hopes for peace. We've lit the candle of hope on our Advent wreath. Next week we will begin singing our Advent hymns like, O Come Emmanuel. And yet, we do it every year. And a year later, it seems as if nothing has changed. In fact, it feels like nothing has changed since the time of Isaiah first said the words that we heard. Before the exile. More swords are being made than are being beaten into plowshares. We can almost agree with the predicament of the policeman and the jumper when they both jumped. Why bother hoping? Is there any reason to hope? There doesn't seem to be any peace in the world or in our lives like we think there should be. It doesn't change anything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't change anything away from ourselves. But it changes us. It changes us because it allows us to live life and be faithful to God in the midst of all that is unpeaceful in the world. Think for a moment what life would be like if you did not have any hope. Halford Lookock, in his book, Unfinished Business, shares what it might look like to not have any hope. One night at dinner, a man who had spent many summers in Maine fascinated his companions by telling of his experience in a little town named Flagstaff, Maine. The town was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it was going to be covered with water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was about to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woebegone. And then he added by way of explanation, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Where there is no faith in the future, hope, then there's no power in the present. Part of the problem, I think, dealing with hope is that we put it in the wrong place. Reverend Ted Smith, a Presbyterian professor preaching at Candler School of Theology in Atlanta, in a sermon on our passage, said this: Christmas celebrates the coming of God among us as one of us, Word made flesh. If that dwelling with us is God's answer to our yearning, then why are we still yearning? And if that dwelling with us is not an answer to our yearning, if Christmas does not bring the Prince of Peace, who shall reign forever and ever, then why are we looking forward to Christmas? Why do we direct our yearning towards Christmas that won't last even until the end of January? Well, at least by the time the last Christmas lights come down, although that's getting closer to July. I mean, I can see how Advent might come before Christmas, yearning then fulfillment. But how can Advent come after Christmas? Fulfillment then yearning. How can we yearn for something that's already happened? But that's what we're called to do. In fact, we're called to do both. To be a Christian means we yearn for one who has already come, but we look forward and we yearn for that one to come again into our lives. Listen again to the words of the first prophet in Isaiah. He shall judge between the nations, shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is a prophecy of fulfillment. Fulfillment comes when the people who heard the word of the Lord, as shared by the first prophet of Isaiah, and then acted on it. See, that's the part we forget. You have to act on the hope in order to make it fulfilled. They can only act upon it, though, if they hope for it. Remember when Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains? We all think, yeah, right. But think again. If I have faith that God can move mountains, or that I can move mountains, with God's help, I'll grab my shovel and my wheelbarrow and start digging to move the mountain. And hopefully others will join me. I'm reminded of a story, the man who planted trees, which I shared with you several years ago, about a dead area, literally dead area in France, where nothing grew. It was hard, it was hot, and dusty. But a man, one man, had hope that the land could be brought back. And so he began, for the rest of his life, which was decades, to plant trees. And he planted whole forests of trees and created a land that flourished again, with animals and birds, with rivers and streams, with grasslands. It flourished with new life. If we have hope in swords being beaten into plowshares, then we have to start beating swords into plowshares in any way that we can. If we had hope for a world where all people are respected and loved, then we need to get busy loving people in whatever way we can. The Christmas season is one which we give to Toys for Tots and food baskets for people in need. If we have hope for a loving world, then we would do that all year round. We cannot do it for the next few weeks and then say, okay, that's been fulfilled. Emmanuel has come, as we yearn for in the Christmas carol, O come, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is still coming. And that gives us hope that we can do anything. And if we are serious about the hoped-for vision that Jesus gave us, then we need to do our part. One clergy family decided to let their three-year-old son record the message for their home answering machine. The rehearsals went smoothly. Mommy and Daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you leave your name, phone number, and a brief message, they'll get back to you as soon as possible. Then came the test. And the father pushed the record button and the son said sweetly, Mommy and Daddy can't come to the phone right now. If you leave your name, phone number, and brief message, they'll get back to you just as soon as Jesus comes. But you see, Jesus has come. Jesus is coming. And we need to roll up our sleeves and to make that hope, that yearning, a reality. Perhaps this Advent, we all need to reflect on something that we hope for. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be a big thing, but it can be something a little smaller. And then think about ways to fulfill that hope. Not just in the next 4 weeks, but on, at least for a year, and then maybe do the same thing next year. Let that be our Advent project. May God bless each and every one of us this Advent with a hope that yearns to be fulfilled. Amen.